1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, as we look at the scriptures tonight, that you'll help us, dear God, to draw courage, Lord, and conviction, and Lord, deepen our faith and our resolve, Lord, in these dark days. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would understand, help us to understand, Lord, that in the light of scriptures, what America is going through is not really that much of an unusual thing. And yet, Lord, it's important that we respond biblically and, dear God, respond courageously in these days. So I pray you'd bless this preacher. Help me, dear God. As we preach this message tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. I'm going to have you go through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. These are the pastoral epistles. These are epistles that the Lord included in the Bible that's directly written to young preachers. And I'm going to just pick some selections. We'll do it in chronological order, so it'll be easy for you to follow along. But we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 17 through 18, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Notice this last phrase, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And I want you to kind of listen to these verses in light of what's transpired in this past week. I'll give you more detail about it in just a minute, read a little bit about some of the news releases on it. But as most of you know, a mayor down in Houston who is unashamed homosexual life, and also, God help us, was voted in as the mayor of Houston, has this week issued subpoenas demanding that a group of pastors turn over any sermons having to do with homosexuality, gender identity, or Mrs. Parker, the city's first openly lesbian mayor, any sermon that they might have mentioned her. Well, she's going to get one added tonight to that list, all right? But I want you to think about, in light of some of the things that I believe are going to become these attacks are going to increase in these days. I want you to think about these verses. Pray for your pastor, would you? I want you to think about these verses in light of some of the things that we are going to be facing in these dark days. And I want you to think about what the Bible has already given to preachers in these pastoral epistles to, if you will, let me say this, shore them up for these type of situations. Now, you know what? God used Paul to write to this young preacher, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And let me say this, folks. Could I say this? They don't give Congressional Medal of Honors out to people who were in the majority and won an easy, overwhelming victory. Congressional Medal of Honors are given out to people and to soldiers that were outnumbered and could have surrendered, could have turned tail and run, but in the face of overwhelming odds, they warred a good warfare. Let's have you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Think about these things as we read these scriptures. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. Did you get that? Here's the command to a preacher. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, nothing done by partiality. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Go, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Think about these things. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ, the good thing which was committed unto thee. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. Chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, for all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Titus chapter 1. If you will, look at verse number 15. Think of these words. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Look in chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let no man despise thee. In a minute, I'm going to see if I can just go back and talk to you a little bit about some Bible and about some men that had to stood in times past against those that would stand against God. In the midst of a world given over to iniquity, a man by the name of Noah remained just and perfect in his generation. Every day he walked with the Holy God. The culture had embraced every imaginable level of perversion, to the point where the Bible describes the people thus: the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yet one man stood against the onslaught of wickedness and preached righteousness for 120 years. In the end, this man and his family weathered the flood safe in the ark while the culture drowned in a flood of judgment. This is our Christian heritage. In the midst of two cities given over to iniquity, a man by the name of Lot lived and traded and prospered financially. He was a Christian, but one who decided not to speak out against the wicked sin of homosexuality that plagued his community. Lot decided tolerance was the best path, silence was more profitable, and compromise more reasonable. Instead of standing against sin and for righteousness, he chose the life of a compromising coward. In the end, judgment still came. Lot lost his integrity, his testimony, his wife, his children, his house, and his possessions. He was dragged from the city and watched from afar as fire and brimstone destroyed everything that he'd grown to love. This is our warning as Christians. Moses was sent to stand against the most powerful politician of his day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, decided that he would place God's people into slavery. He enslaved them financially, mistreated them physically, murdered their children, and hated their desire to worship Jehovah God. Sound like America? God's man Moses stood against this mad monarch and demanded that he set God's people free. When Pharaoh refused, God poured out 10 plagues upon this nation that devastated them financially, punished them physically, and finally took the lives of their firstborn children. Moses led out God's people in triumph while God buried Pharaoh and his armies at the bottom of the Red Sea. This is our Christian heritage. Joshua entered a land controlled by atheists, pagans, and perverts. He faced the walls of Jericho, their celebrated and so-called indestructible city. Following God's command, they marched in silence, then shouted in triumph, and the walls came tumbling down. A promised land was secured. Once again, the heathen and haters of the true God were defeated. This church is our Christian heritage. Years later, a heathen people who respected not the person of God nor the laws of God invaded the land of God's people. The Midianites destroyed the homes of Israel, stole their possessions, profaned their land. God chose a young man to challenge these heathen oppressors and free God's people from pagan rule. Gideon and a trimmed down army of just 300 men stood against their pagan invaders and won a great victory for good and right. This is our Christian heritage. A wicked giant stood in the valley and cursed God and his people. Goliath placed his trust in his armor and in his human abilities as a proven warrior. He defied God and belittled the people of God. This went on for 40 days until a young shepherd boy happened to be present to hear the heathen roar his challenge. David walked into the valley with a shepherd's sling, 5 smooth stones, and the power and blessing of Almighty God upon his life. Then he marched out of that same valley carrying a giant's head in one hand and the giant's sword in the other. This, my friend, is our Christian heritage. A pagan Israelite, think about that, supposed to be one of God's people. A pagan Israelite, a traitor to God and a traitor to God's word, secures the throne of Israel, becomes king. How did such a man become king of God's chosen people? To make matters worse, this heathen king was married to a pagan princess, a worshiper of false gods and a hater of all that is good and right, Ahab and Jezebel. This diabolical couple go about to redefine worship, pervert the culture, and quiet God's prophets. Does this sound again like America? They eventually try to hunt down and murder any man who preaches God's word and denounces their corrupt and sensual lifestyle. Thank God when the devil raises up his men for the purpose of destroying a nation, God raises up his men to stand against evil and for the good of a nation. Elijah intercepts this murderous king and pronounces judgment upon Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. Elijah's prophecy is that the dogs will lap up the blood of the king and eat the flesh of the queen. The preacher and the politician, God's man sent to condemn a corrupt and criminal king. How does this end? Ahab and Jezebel become Kibbles and Alpo. And Elijah is swept from this earth in a chariot of fire onward and upward to receive his reward. Folks, listen to me. This is our Christian heritage. A nation forgets her God. Israel and Judah have turned their back on God. They now worship false gods. Paganism has infiltrated the national fiber. The nation now has sought out false prophets, so-called preachers who refuse to condemn their sins, who have sold out for popularity and money, but God also has his man. Jehovah sends his true prophets, men like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Micah, Hosea, and Amos. These men were first ignored, then persecuted. All were threatened. All were mistreated. And some were imprisoned. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was lowered into a dungeon. A dungeon that was really just a pit filled with water and mire. Jeremiah 38:6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no wire but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Despite the government's attempts to intimidate and silence these Old Testament prophets, they preached the truth. And their prophecies came to pass. Heathen nations overran their homeland. Their nation was carried away into captivity. Despite being ignored, mocked, hated, and persecuted, these men never backed down. This is our Christian heritage. Daniel was a prophet who served under the reign of four Babylonian kings. Daniel purposed himself to purity, stood by his convictions, and stayed on his knees. When a heathen government outlawed praying, he went to his window three times a day, bowed towards Jerusalem, prayed to the God of heaven. He was willing to go to the lion's den rather than surrender his conviction. See, this is what this mayor don't understand. She does not have any idea who she's messing with. This is our Christian heritage. John the Baptist was sent to God by God to preach against the sins of a nation. This included the sins of the local and national politicians. When King Herod broke up his brother Philip's marriage, then took up with his wife, it was John the Baptist who preached publicly against this sin. With courage and conviction, he held the Roman rulers to account. A Baptist preacher holding the Roman rulers to account. He was unfairly arrested, unfairly imprisoned, and unfairly executed because of his refusal to turn a blind eye to the transgressions of the rich and the famous. This, again, is our Christian heritage. The book of Acts is a book of God's men preaching the truth despite government persecution. Peter and John was commanded by the local authorities to cease to preach in the name of Jesus, and their answer is recorded for us in Acts chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Despite spending a night in jail, despite the threats of the Sanhedrin, they continued to preach the word of God. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples again find themselves in prison, but the angel of the Lord released them during the night, and again they went right back to preaching. The next day they were again detained and commanded to stop preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The conversation went like this, Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Once again, local rulers thought they could intimidate. God called preachers to quiet their voices or change their message. Again, these true men of God refused to bend under the pressure. They were beaten, threatened, then released. And then the Bible says this, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hey, Christians, that is our Christian heritage. Stephen was stoned, but he would not stop preaching the truth. Christians were imprisoned by Saul of Tarsus, but would not stop preaching the truth. James was run through with a sword, murdered by Herod Agrippa I, but died standing by his convictions. Peter was arrested, but delivered from death by God's angel, and continued preaching the truth. Paul was arrested again and again, beaten again and again, threatened again and again, stoned in the streets, left for dead, but would not stop preaching against sin and would not stop spreading the gospel. Paul preached before governors and kings, preached with such pointed power and crusading conviction that these politicians quaked with conviction, screamed with rage, or pleaded for a more convenient time. Paul stood before these men and preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He never trimmed his message because of government threats or pressure. Nero had to cut off his head to quiet his voice, but God used him to pen over one third of the New Testament. Millions have read God's words written down by Paul. Who in this room has ever read one word written by Nero? God wins. This is our Christian heritage. Now, I am doing what I think every preacher in America needs to do after a week like what we've had. When a politician, when a government official decides that they're going to try to intimidate pastors into preaching, trimming their message and not preaching against their little pet sin, then every man of God ought to go to the pulpit the next Sunday and decide, you know what, we need to send a clear message. You want to subpoena something? Subpoena this. You want to subpoena a sermon? Subpoena this. This woman forced through and ramrodded through into legislation in the city of council what they are calling the bathroom bill that allows men to walk into the bathrooms, women's bathrooms, and women to walk into men's bathrooms. Can you imagine such a thing? As if this is going to be something that is good for the city of Houston. Christian people and just people that maybe aren't professing Christians, but just decent people rose up and more than 50,000 signatures, far more than the 17,269 that was needed to put a referendum on the ballot. However, the city and this mayor threw out the petition in August over alleged irregularities. So a bill was filed against, a suit was leveled against the mayor and the city for not recognizing these 50,000 citizens that says we do not want to live with this new law. In response, she decides she's going to subpoena the sermons of local area pastors to see whether or not they've been preaching against homosexuality, which if they're men of God, they should have been preaching against this bill, which if they're men of God, they should have been, and calling her name from the pulpit, which if they're men of God, they should have called from the pulpit. She's trying to use an intimidation tactic. We've been reading that since then she's backpedaling and trying to play the martyr and the victim and wasn't aware of the wording. And is she expected to read every word of every document? And this is the kind of thing she has to face and has had to face through her whole administration. It's just like everybody always picks on her. Now, let me see if I can make sure that we are all on the same page as far as what the Bible says about her sin. This woman is a lesbian, a sodomite. She's a participating, an active homosexual. Say, preacher, do you have a problem with that? Let me say this, God has a problem with it. The Bible says about homosexuality that it's an abomination against God. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13, if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. God has poured out divine judgment and erased entire cities from existence because of the sin of homosexuality. In Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord likened to the land of Egypt. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Genesis 18, verse 16, and the men arose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. And he goes on to explain what he's going to do. Genesis chapter 19, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides thee son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Folks, understand this. There are very few sins that are spoken of in this light in the Bible, but the sin of homosexuality literally cries out a dare to God to do something about it. It cries out for judgment. It begs for judgment. And as America continues to embrace this sin, let me say this, folks. Those that are involved in that are putting their nation in the crosshairs of God's judgment. We read in chapter 19 of Genesis, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And behold, all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of furnace. That's what God thinks about the sin of homosexuality. The removing of sodomites from the land was a key ingredient for revival during the days of the nation of Israel. In 1 Kings 15, verse 11 and 12, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father, and he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. 1 Kings chapter 22, now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And the remnants of the sodomites which remained in the day of his father Asa, he took out of the land. That's part of the revival that came to America. Toleration of sodomy by Israel is listed as one of the reasons Israel and Judah were defeated by heathen kings and taken into captivity for 70 years. 1 Kings 14, 22, and Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every tree, green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. In Romans chapter number 1, we see the demise of a nation. We see that it begins in verse 21 and 22 with atheism, and then verse 23 with the embracing of the lie of evolution. Verse 24 with the that turns into immorality. Verse 25, humanism. Verse 26, verse 27, homosexuality. For this cause gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And by the way, that's AIDS and other things that come with it. Watch this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Mayor Parker, if you get a chance to subpoena this message, or if you'll listen to it, because I'm going to send it to you, you, ma'am, are involved in a lifestyle that is condemned as an abomination against God. This sin is a choice. You were not born a pervert. You chose to be a pervert. The sin of homosexuality is repeatedly condemned by the scriptures. It is twice denounced as an abomination against God and is identified as wicked and those involved as sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Homosexuality is condemned in the Bible as a very grievous sin that cries out from earth to heaven for judgment. And it was the sin that caused God to erase the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah from existence. It is not only the last nail in the coffin of any nation, but is also divinely proclaimed as the last sin on the road to becoming a reprobate. Any pastor who loves God, loves people, and loves America will preach passionately against the sin of homosexuality. I want to say a few things to our president. President Obama, to recommend to the American people to sit down in an interview and recommend to the American people that we recognize and support homosexual marriages is the height of wickedness and irresponsibility. To propagate a sin so grievous that it would compel a holy God to destroy the nation you have sworn to serve and protect is an act of treason. You have placed our nation in the crosshairs of God's judgment. Your attempts to encourage the young people of America to worship a false god, to accept and participate in heathen practices and perverse behavior is shameful. You are a modern day King Ahab. I'd like to say a few words to our liberal judges. I'm grieved about this. Judges, you also one day will stand before a judge. the judge of the universe. You'll stand before a judge. And you know what? What we could not, and the liberals could not get done through the proper channels of the legislative branch, liberal judges have taken in their own hands and decided that they're going to circumvent our forefathers and the proper order of the Constitution by using a gavel and striking it down and proclaiming some things to be unconstitutional that the Constitution does not even speak to. And one of these days, you'll get a chance. Supreme Court justices that were too cowardly to accept this case and rule in favor of decency and right, you will stand before the judge of the universe and you'll have an opportunity to explain that. The liberal judge up in Chicago that decided, and how in the world does a liberal judge in Chicago get to decide what is right or wrong for Hoosiers in the state of Indiana? What a corrupt system. And again, with one decision, has circumvented the will of the people and circumvented the due process of law. One strike of the gavel has proclaimed homosexuality and the laws that we have on our books against the sin of homosexuality has proclaimed them as unconstitutional. There will be a day when you stand up and see the judge of the universe sitting on a great white throne, and you're not going to like the verdict he has for you in that day. I want to say two things to our Indiana senators and representatives. First of all, I want to say a huge thank you to those who stood on the side of right and have and continue to stand on the side of right when it comes to supporting traditional marriage and standing against the sin of homosexuality. They have become, folks, watch this, the offscouring of a nation. They are mocked. They are made fun of. They are laughed. They are ridiculed. They are harassed. Their families are harassed. Listen, folks, militant homosexuals are literally rubbing their hands together in delight as they begin to plan the persecution of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's coming. And I appreciate these senators and representatives that stood firm and did right. I have no respect at all for the cowards that flip-flopped on this. You had a chance. You had a chance. In the last two assemblies, you had a chance to stand for right. You had a chance to send a signal across the nation that Indiana will not tolerate, will not accept this sin. We will put up under our Constitution, as part of our Constitution, the Traditional Marriage Protection Act. And we will stand on the side of right. But cowardly politicians on both sides of the aisle caved into the pressure. Pressure put upon them, caved into the culture and its wickedness, sold our state out. God pities you. God pity you as you stand before him one day. Now, I want to just say some things in conclusion, and I'm done. Listen, folks, watch this. In every single generation, the devil has had his so-called preachers. The Bible says that they pretend to be angel of lights. They pretend to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to say one thing to these so-called preachers, so-called clergy that marched up to the state house and stood behind the homosexuals. Let me tell you something. You are not ministers of God. You are ministers of Satan. You do not stand for the God of the Bible. You stand for the God of this world. And you too, one of these days, unless you get saved and turn from your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, you go ahead and hide behind a pulpit and you put on a religious garb, but you will stand before the King of the universe one of these days and you'll hear these words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." That's what you'll hear. Let me say some things. Number one, legislation of an abomination. Let me say that again. The legislation of an abomination does not make it any less sinful in the sight of God. The legalization of an abomination does not make it any less sinful in the sight of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to have Eric Miller come and explain to this on Wednesday night, but let me say this, folks. The battle's not over, and we're not surrendering anything yet. But if this thing becomes legal in America, it does not make it right before an Almighty God. You see, folks, watch this. Young people, listen to me. We've watched this thing now in almost every decade. In the 1960s, you know what? The Supreme Court decided that they should take Bible out of the public school. And so they passed a law, and it's all the law books, and now it is illegal for teachers to use the Bible in the classroom, but just because it's legal does not make it right. In 1973, they legalized the murder of unborn babies. And you know what? Just because it's legal to do in America, it's still an abomination before God. And you know what? We preach against the fact that they made that decision in the 60s, and we preach against the fact that they made that decision in the 70s, and we put our thousand crosses out there in a sin proclaiming abortion as murder, and we're going to continue to do those things. Folks, listen to me. Young people, get this. Just because something becomes legal does not make it right. And if this thing does become illegal in America, the recognition of homosexual marriage by our government, it does not make it right before a holy God. Number two, all Bible preachers should continue to preach passionately against the sins of our culture, no matter the consequences, no matter the consequences. Number three, any politician who supports the legalization of homosexual marriage in America should be voted out of office by the citizens they represent. Any politician who supports the legalization of homosexual marriage in America should be voted out of office by the citizens they represent. Number four, no man or woman should be considered patriotic who would support a sin so grievous that it compels God to judge their nation. No man or woman should be considered patriotic. One of the most unpatriotic things to do is support the homosexual agenda, because you are placing your nation, you're placing your nation in a place where God must bring judgment upon it. Number five, every Christian needs to rededicate themselves to living a holy life, rededicate themselves to fervent evangelism. If we have any chance of turning our nation back to God, we have to keep doing right, living right, and getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus out. So folks, listen to me. Don't be discouraged. Become determined in your stand. Become determined. Clean your life up, Christians. If my people, don't forget this morning's message, if my people, which are called, it's time to be clean. It's time to pray. It's time to realize we're playing for keeps in this nation. And you know what? We must, if we're going to condemn the sins of this world, we must live ourselves a holy and clean life as a testimony before others. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to stand, dear God, in defense of right. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, that we can go to the Bible during times like this. And we can see, dear God, that this is really nothing new. There is no new thing under the sun. Lord, our nation at one time was celebrated as the most Christian nation of the world. And Lord, as we look back in our history, we see the blessings of God came in abundance because of our willingness to recognize you and have respect to your laws, Lord, and to try to bring honor to you in all of the decisions. Lord, Christian men serving in government, Christian men making right decisions. As our nation has now for these many decades turned their back on God, Lord, we begin to see the demise of a nation. We see judgment come upon a nation. And oh God, those of us that love you and love right and love America, God, we're brokenhearted about it. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you heard our prayers earlier. I pray, dear God, that you sense the sincerity, dear Lord, of our hearts. And Lord, we humbly pray, dear God, we humbly confess our sins. We humbly, Lord, ask for revival and a turning, dear God. Lord, I pray for these pastors that are under direct attack, dear God, in the city of Houston, that you'll give them, Lord, resolve, dear God, that you'll help them to stand for what's right. Don't let them compromise, dear God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would use this to give them a platform to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we in this great state of Indiana continue to face attacks, dear God. Lord, Indiana, this is my home state. This is where I was born. This is where I was raised. This is where I was educated. This is, Lord, where I've served. I love this place, dear God. It's always been a wonderful thing to lead this state and talk to other people and have them talk about how conservative Indiana is and how they are not following the trends of the nation and how we haven't lost our common sense and our godliness and our conservative biblical viewpoint. And dear God, now we see that it seems like the devil has leveled every attack against this state that he can. And I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord. In this next election, Lord, please help us to put into office men of resolve and men of conviction, righteous men that will lead our state back in a proper direction, Lord, towards righteousness, dear God. And I pray, Lord, for those politicians. Lord, I pray specifically for those that have stood against the Bible and stood against right and stood with the pagans, dear God. I pray, Lord, that they'd be voted out of office, Lord. Dear God, we pray that they'd be converted. We pray that they would come to Christ, that there would be repentance, Lord, and that they would be a change of mind. But God, if there's not that, please, dear God, please, Lord, help us to remove those that stand against you and your ways. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us in this week, dear God, as we look and have set aside, Lord, 8 days, Sunday to Sunday, to try to impact, Lord, our community, our state, and our nation for good. Lord, I pray that we will impact, Lord, our country through prayer, through purity, dear God, and through participation. Lord, bless this week, we pray in Jesus' name.